Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast, emergency edition, as the Cleveland Cavaliers have made a three-team trade, sending Larry Nance Jr. to Portland, getting Lauri Markkanen back in a sign-and-trade in Portland, with Portland Ives being the third team involved here. It's a Cleveland-Chicago-Portland three-trade that shakes up the Cavs roster and has them make some moves at the power forward spot. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Tell them Locked On sent you at rockauto.com.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. Hey! Knocks it down! Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket, and oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill, off to Stevens. Oh my! 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out!
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
Hey everyone, Chris Manning here. Evan Damrell, my co-host, my partner in crime, is with me. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of this trade, just as a tease, next week we're going to do bigger deep dives into all of this. So, like, we're going to talk about Larry Nance's exit today. We're going to talk about Lauri Markkanen. We're going to talk about every aspect of this trade today. Set the table for you. And then next week we're going to do deeper dives into all of this, because I think there's a lot to unpack here, a lot we don't fully, I don't think, understand yet. We'll see if anything else happens. We'll see kind of what comes of this, what other details perhaps leak out in the coming days. But Evan, how are you?
I'm good. I was hoping for a chill Friday. I had a phone call with somebody who also covers the Cavs, and I said, you know, there's never a dull moment when it comes to covering this team. And he laughed and agreed with me. And then literally when we got off the phone, the Nance trade was announced. And then I got a text about it. And then I did some sourcing. And then he texted me saying, oh, it figures right when we're on the phone. I'm like, yeah, I told you there's never a dull moment. But how are you, man? Also, like the spur on your shirt, this trade is hot.
Moving past that altogether. Yeah, man, this was an interesting day. I was just sitting here on a Friday, just
vibing,
got the reaction,
as you would say.
Yeah, vibing. I literally talked to Larry Nance Jr. a couple days ago. Yeah,
you caused this. He's just like, well, that Chris Manning bozo represents everything in Cleveland media. I want the heck out of here.
Yeah, because I like Bree, but
too soon.
Yeah. Not too soon, but yeah, man, this trade was interesting. This is, I think there was some expectation that he was on the market. I think we sort of all understood that. I think we talked about that. I guess like my initial reaction was just kind of like confusion, I think, because.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I was designing like a trade that was going to help the Cavs get better next year and maybe add to their young talent a little bit or whatever. And Nance was the chip you had, and he's obviously kind of like the trade chip. I don't know if this is the kind of move that I would have expected. And I certainly think that there's some stuff I think that will come out, let's say, about the full structure of the marketing contract. But yeah. I do not think that like the average value of that, even if like it's, you know, mostly whatever, like that's a lot for a player. It struck me as a lot for a player in a sign and trade that didn't really have a market. And It feels like you're very much betting on Lauri Markkanen for reasons that I think are, I think, a little bit unclear to me. I think trading Larry Nance Jr., if that this was going to happen, was always going to be a day in a news cycle that was going to be a little bit, I think, not fun to dive into, because this is a guy that, like, obviously Jenny likes being here. When I talked to him for the story I did at Dime about the work he did last season and the work still to come, like, this is a guy that I think generally like embraces being part of Ohio. Was going to do that. Was also happened to be a good basketball player, pretty versatile, able to improve, like has been with the team since 2018, which is like a long time at this point, like has this connection with his dad. Like there's just a lot of reasons that made him sort of like a fan favorite in this very versatile piece. So I tend to think that this is just a little bit surprising. I can understand it. But I tend to fall on the lower end of this deal, like actually making sense. Where are you at in that sense?
Well, I'm working on kind of just a long form reaction to this for Right Down Euclid, and I'll paraphrase this a little bit for those listening. Like, this is a tough pill to swallow from a fan's perspective. Larry was the son of a franchise legend whose jersey happens to be hanging in the rafters of the arena.
Forget they unretired his dad's number so he could wear it. And now Lauri Markkanen weirdly will probably, I would assume, wear number 24, which was Larry's first number when he came to Cleveland.
It's weird how stuff comes full circle.
Because we're 7 in LA and then 24. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Larry made an effort during all 72 games to support local businesses financially that have been impacted by COVID. Like, that's a huge deal. He understood what it meant to be a Cleveland fan and he wore it proudly on his sleeve. And from a team's perspective, it's also tough. Like, he was arguably one of the team's best players due to his unique skill set, especially because he came off the bench. He actively wanted to be in Cleveland, which is rare for a lot of players, but he's also injury prone. And I've heard this from a few people now. In the grand scheme of things, he's starting to age himself out a little bit because Cleveland just keeps getting younger and younger. Like, I got to crunch the numbers again, but I mean, Markkanen will not start for the Cavaliers, I'd assume, but at this point,
if he starts, it would be like kind of there's a lot we can unpack with that. Maybe that's like the whole market episode, right? His role is sort of interesting to me. I don't really know what to kind of expect there.
And I'll have more marketing takes in a bit as we talk about this. But like, the starting lineup next year for Cleveland, which could be Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Isaac Okoro, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. The average age of that team is 21.5. You add a 24-year-old Markkanen, this team is younger. So heading into next year, the key veterans coming off the bench for Cleveland now are Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio, likely. And that's really weird to think about.
What is Kevin Love's role on this team? Honestly?
I really think he gets bought out at this point. I think Cavs reapproach this conversation and say, okay, Kevin, how much money do you want to leave on the table? Because clearly we're moving on.
Yeah. There's no fit for Kevin Love in this team.
We'll talk about that when we like focus on marketing in that segment, because because in a vacuum, it makes sense to acquire marketing. The Cavs were dead last in shooting last 3-point shooting last year. Marketing shot 40.8% from 40.2% from three.
That's just the one thing he does better than Larry Nance Jr. Everything else he's worse at.
He's worse at that, and I guess in theory, he makes life easier for Colin Sexton and Darius Garland in terms of playmaking, and he provides spacing alongside Mobley and Allen, two other key pieces in your young foundation.
Okay, we'll get into this. There's already like 900 holes that I'm like taking like a little pinprick and like popping all these bubbles because I don't think
just it actually
like
call me JK Rowling, because my plot points, and this is the Goblet of Fire, my plot points are full of holes that, you know, Harry could have just touched the GD cup at the beginning of this and we could have not let Cedric Diggory die. But I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. I liked Larry as a person. I liked him. I liked connecting with him because of his charity. I think a lot of the work he does for kids that are freshly diagnosed with Crohn's and colitis and showing that they can still live a normal life is super admirable. I think the fact that he wanted to be here so much really did speak volumes, because he was a sought-after player. Like, last season, the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns were blowing up Cleveland's phone, from what I heard, trying to get him to come to either of those teams. And it's kind of a shame how this is going. I think it's kind of cool to see him play with CJ McCollum, I guess, another Northeast Ohio guy that, you know, that hashtag gets us. But I don't know, man. Like, I was a little stunned, and I'm trying to unpack it, and I still am, and I'll have a more written response to this. But, like, long term, I have more questions than answers right now. But in a vacuum, I guess it makes sense, because he fills a very niche role. And I jokingly said this to you, I guess he can play the three because he did it not out of because he was good at it, but out of necessity for Chicago last year.
You stop it with that being a thing. He gets defended by threes and then like can't punish them despite the fact that he's 7 foot tall.
Did Isaac Okoro defend Lauri last year?
You're asking this on top of my head. Like, I haven't, like, last season's like a smoothie meshed in, like, swirled up in my brain, Evan.
That's fair. But I don't know, man. I guess I just I was nervous. You could say I was a little sweaty, you know, Italian and French and just hairy and a coward.
We're going into ads. I'm going to hold my breath here. Okay.
So being Italian and French, you know, being hairy and a coward, I sweat a lot to begin with. And I shared this with Chris. I went for a 5-mile run today, and I've been using Sweat Block for a while now, and I've been using it on my pits. My pits were bone dry, but the rest of my body was sopping wet in this Cleveland humidity. And you know what? If you want to be nice and dry like me too, you got to check out Sweatblock. Some of you may know that I personally have dealt with sweatiness, and when I speak in public or on this podcast, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, I know this isn't life or death, but there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or a first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, and the next morning you wake up, wash, and go about your day without having to worry about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week. This is accurate. I used it once this week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. Also accurate. Bone dry, baby. No more pitting out, no more picking my shirts based on what will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. with promo code Locked On, or at Amazon and CVS.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the latest updated odds, props, and contests, including the online's biggest half-million-dollar NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is making a bet on Thursday, September 9th, for the season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only, signing up with promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, and right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers for the 21-21 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Evan, let me say this, I think pretty cleanly here. I tend to think that you trade, like, I can understand getting younger, timeline, blah, 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 blah. I don't actually think these timelines are ever, like, full of, like, young players. Like, that is not how this works. That just isn't how it works. You mm-hmm. tend to have to add veterans in and have those adults supplement your kids, and then your kids have to, like, grow up and become, like, the players you're hoping they can be. The Cleveland season next season is still very much tied to how good can Darius Garland be? How good can Jared Allen get? Can Evan Mobley make an impact right away? What is Colin Sexton going to look like in year four? Like, those are all the things that are going to decide the season. Nance, I think, in a vacuum, I think if you're saying what skills does he provide that would help us, it's defensive versatility, it's the ball movement, it is the finishing ability at the rim, it is a light bit of three-point shooting. Markkanen's one upgrade is that he's going to shoot more threes. He's going to probably make them at a higher clip. He's more comfortable doing it as a basketball player. My biggest thing here is I just don't think if Cleveland's goal next year, which they've kind of hinted at, is we want to take a massive step forward, we want to improve, we want to get somewhere a little bit different next year, I don't necessarily believe that this is like, I don't really buy that this is that. I tend to think that Cleveland, even if they're going to be a little more frisky and even if they're going to be better in some ways, this makes me a little bit lower on them as a team that could, like, maybe hit their over, which is like 26.5, according to our friends at BetOnline, that can make a run of the playing tournament. I think on paper, marketing for Nance swap clearly makes Cleveland worse from a basketball sense. The contract is what it is. Nance is cheaper for the next 2 years, obviously a little bit older. His value could crater if he gets hurt again, blah, blah, blah. Markkanen has his own injury concerns. Like, let's not also, like, forget that Markkanen has not had, like, a full season, I think, ever in his career. Like, I just tend to think Cleveland is now worse via this trade. I feel very secure in saying that I think Cleveland's a worse basketball team than it was, like, 4 hours ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm... Yeah, they are worse because Larry, let's unpack Larry's skill set. He can defend, he can playmake, he can rebound, he is athletic where he can act as a rim roller, he can act as an initiator on offense too. Like, he's a very unique skill set. Larry Markkanen is a very one-dimensional, maybe two-dimensional player, who knows, compared to Larry Nance Jr. Also, I'm a little darker because my ring light just crapped out for everyone watching at home, but
Evan just thinks he's Batman.
Yeah, I'm brooding now. But yeah, the Cavs did get worse right away. But I'm also going to say that with a caveat where I need to see how this works, because there could be another move in the works for all we know. What if the Cavs do move? Oh, Jetty Osman could be supplanting Kevin Love in the rotation for sure now. But Jetty Osman could still be on the move, and the Cavs could still package that first-round pick to try and get an upgrade on the wing. this is a step in a direction. I'm intrigued to see where it takes us. So I'm not going to be a complete downer about this. I'm going to watch what happens, but I'm going to be cautious. I'm not going to be like leading the charge, beating the drum, saying like, oh my God, the Cavs are back. They're far from being back. Like I said, they're going to be super young. They're going to be super inexperienced. Lauri Markkanen isn't an upgrade over Nance. If you look at the grand scheme of things, just in terms of shooting. And I guess if you want to focus on one aspect and just zero in on that, that's fine. My problem is how much money the Cavs are spending on their big men.
It's like, a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Like, Kevin Love is set to make $31.3 million next year. Jared Allen is set to make $20 million next year. We don't know the specifics of Lauri Markkanen's contract. I know that the last year of his deal isn't fully guaranteed. It's only for $8 million, but I don't know how much. It's $67 million over four, which off the top of my head, which would be $16.5 million roughly. That's less than ideal. So let me do the math here.
When you're eating, let's just say they buy out Kevin Love, you're still eating his money for two more seasons.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
so,
you're spending a bunch of money on, also, who were you bidding against? Who at this point in the market was throwing this? Like, I'm not doubting that there was a team out there interested, right? And I can understand there's like slight Cleveland tax if you want to bring a guy in or whatever. Okay, I can understand that. Who are you bidding against that was going to offer Lauri Markkanen this much money over 4 years? I would love to know, like, if there was actually a market or if maybe his agents just did a really good job. But it feels like Kobe Altman, like, maybe got like a little like duped in the amount of money he's paying Lauri Markkanen at this point. This is like a lot.
Do you think this is an overreaction move?
It's possible. But it's just like, I tend to think that the Cavs like are kind of perpetually overreacting.
That's fair. So
I tend to think the Cavs are perpetually just trying to fix problems like that have been like, there's inherent problems with the Cavs, and this is just like, okay, we need shooting. I guess like we're not going to get a wing. Like, maybe they viewed this as like a cost of, this is like a more realistic option than like trading their pick next year and like getting Dylan Brooks or something. Like, I'm not saying that is like, but it.
Like, the Dylan Brooks trade is dead right now.
Yeah,
because
yeah, but I'm saying in a vacuum, if like you're saying, okay, like if we can trade Larry and like our pick for like a wing is this like you viewed this as like a better, I don't know. There's a lot of confusion I have with this.
So to continue my point, I have a lot of confusion too, but our friends at SpoTrack think the estimate is $15.6 million next year, with a guaranteed overall of $51.5 million for the length of the life of his contract. So if you combine Kevin Love, Jared Allen, Lauri Markkanen, and Evan Mobley's contract, the four big men in Cleveland's rotation, I'm not going to include Dean Wade or Cobb and Gale or Stevens, that's $75 million.
It's a lot of money for bigs
in a modern NBA where it's wing and perimeter oriented. This move makes no sense, especially signing him to that money. If they like traded Lauri Markkanen, if they got Lauri Markkanen on like a cheaper contract, just like, according to Mark Stein, Markkanen was looking for something in the $16 to $17 million annually range, and Chicago wanted to pay him $4 million less than that, from what I gathered. So $12 to $13 million annually. Rock on, I guess, but this just feels like a mismanagement of your assets and the stuff you've accumulated at this point, and it just seems a little wild to me that this is the direction the Cavs are taking. Hey, Ricky Rubio is gonna feast, though, I'll say that much. Like, Markkanen's gonna get some clean ass looks from the perimeter, and yeah, like, I think like Evan Mobley like is hating now. Every second here and really wishes he fell to Toronto even more now.
Well, I don't want to go that far. That feels rude,
buddy. I'll tell you off the air. shaking his head.
Perpetually. I just don't. I also just like the reaction to people with Markkanen is, I think like I can understand that people are like excited about a new piece and they look at the shooting and think that can help. I just don't think that. I just think if you actually like go and watch Markkanen play and look at the numbers, dive in everything with him, there's just not really like a concrete answer that he's like a good NBA player.
No, there's not.
He's never really proven that he's like an actual like legit NBA rotation piece.
No, he
like,
hasn't.
If this was the same kind of contract that ends up being Jetty Osman, you're banking on a guy being like sort of figured out, and yes, you have like some slight escape route or whatever, but it's like an overpay for like a guy that's like maybe not going to be in your plans in a year or two. Like, that is just dumb to me. Like, that is not like smart roster building.
It's not.
I'm like, are we sure Lauri Markkanen is going to be like ever? Like, he has to round out his game beyond being able to shoot threes if he's going to make this much money.
No, I absolutely agree. But let's put a pin in this because I got to tell you something else. It's smart building. Fixing your car with our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why enter often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low enough for every customer. They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and at RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, so do you want to talk about Lauri, or do you want to talk about Larry?
I want to like porn. Dude, it's such a shame. It's like, it's absolutely miserable outside weather-wise. Like, I hate this kind of weather because it's humid, but like, it's beautiful. It's such a bummer thing because the Cavs, like, you and I knew this for a while, and we've been kind of sharing this with people on here for a while and like writing about this for a while too. If the Cavs are going to make a move, their best assets were either their 2022 first round pick, which obviously would have protections on it because I don't think this Cavs team's making the playoffs, but they're looking to make an upgrade in Larry Nance Jr. I felt more comfortable with them trading the pick than I did Larry. And if they did trade him, Portland wasn't the team I expected him to go to. I expected Phoenix and New Orleans.
Yes. I think he's like really going to help.
Oh, he's going to be pretty good in Portland.
Yeah, he's like, here's the thing. Larry Nance Jr. is like a top seven guy on a good team. Top eight and guy on a good team.
Also a massive upgrade over Derrick Jones Jr., a guy they signed at the mid-level exception who was phased out of the rotation for Portland.
Well, can I think we should do like a Larry retrospective next week because I think like his time in Cleveland is sort of interesting. Like, we can go back to 2018, revisit some of that. Because I mean, he was obviously made an impact from game one in that Boston game and was on that finals team and stuff. So we should go back to that, I think, next week. And the dunk contest obviously was also like kind of a fun moment. Here's I think the Evan, what I want to just, I think we should maybe do something positive. I can't believe I'm gonna make myself do this.
Oh my gosh.
If the market is
positive.
I'm not that much of a cynic.
I'm teasing.
If the marketing deal is going to work, if he is going to like turn into something that is like worth all of this, worth the money. Here's the thing I want people to just go and watch. Go back into NBA.com/Hatch, watch his possessions from last year. Go find like a condensed Bulls game somewhere, like on your league pass account or whatever. Like, watch him next year. A thing that teams will do is his defense, I just think, has to like, I don't know if it's good or bad. I gotta like kind of figure that out a little bit more. I tend to think that like the one of the things that is really concerning is that on offense, he is very like just one dimensional as a shooter. And like we've seen with like Davis Bertans, like there's a limit on how effective that player can be. Secondly, like you watch how teams defend him. Teams have started doing this thing like last year and I think maybe in the year before where they'll take like a wing player and they'll sash that player on Markkanen and say like, okay, like we're going to like, you're technically playing a little bigger, but we can still play small here. We can put like a wing who's a little stronger on this guy. He's just going to defend. You can't attack him off the dribble. You're not going to post him up or pass out of like the mid post with Lauri. His utility in offense is to like shoot the ball and like maybe like roll to the rim every once in a while. Like, we can defend that with a wing and it gums up your offense. And Cleveland has to, this is a real big bet to me on like Cleveland's player development staff, like being able to fix this. Lauri, the situation in Chicago clearly not great. He had, you know, obviously, like, had Jim Boylan and the Players Leadership Council, like, had some injury issues there. Like, maybe a change of scenery is a thing that can help him. I think Cleveland has to bet on that. And I don't think, like, targeting that kind of player is, like, the worst idea in the world when you're not a destination market. I just, it feels like a lot to commit to him up front. And, like, you're like, the work that, like, Dan Garrity, JJ Outlaw, like, all those guys are going to have to do. It's on them to maximize him and then figure him out. And even then, like, is his best role is like the seventh guy coming off the bench, and like, only because I don't think he can play the three in reality. Like, the Cleveland the Glass numbers, like, have it as like an effective thing with the Bulls last year, but like, none of the possessions are more than like 40 possessions with a group, and like, they range from like wildly successful in like 12 possessions and like negative in 40. Like, there's not actually like, you can say he did it, but I don't think there's like actual proof that it's like effective. And like, I would argue that like his skill set does not lead me to think that it is going to be effective if it's something you could have done. And like, I could have seen this year, like, a solution for Cleveland was like, hey, let's just play Larry at the three. Like, Jetty's not working, Windler's not working, Lamar's not providing enough shooting, Isaac can't play 48 minutes a night or 40 minutes a night. It's not worth it. Like, he also maybe isn't shooting well at that point, and because obviously he didn't last year. Larry can be like a stopgap for that, so we can just figure it out and maybe go sign like a veteran or make a trade or something at the deadline. Like, that option is kind of gone now. And now it's like, okay, like, Windler and Osman and Stevens, one of them has to really pop if Cleveland's going to have like a salvageable wing rotation.
Yeah. I still think the Cavs gambling on themselves is such a risky proposition for them, but I think that's all they're going to have to be able to do at this point, unless there's another move. I mean, Chris, be honest with me. Did you see Lauri Markkanen being a Cavalier when he woke up this morning?
No, I think the Cavs are a team that operates pretty quietly. Yep. I think like some of this stuff getting leaked out, when it does, it just kind of, when it actually develops, and there's a lot of stuff that happen that you will hear like chatter about that isn't ultimately happened for whatever reason or another. But the
Bulls are a chatty team. Let's just be honest.
I guess I would just say that the thing is, Larry was kind of, as we've kind of said, Larry was the chip. If you're going to make a move, Larry was the trade chip, salary number, skill wise, to go do something. You still have your pick, but like, I don't think you can't trade Lauri now for like a certain amount of time. You're now hard capped as well, which doesn't really matter just because of the sign and trade mechanisms in the CBA. Like, your other like mid-sized contract that you theoretically could like attach to something is now Jetty, and I don't think Jetty has like a lick of value around the league right now. So, like, what, I guess I just don't know what, like, the other meaningful move would be. Lori's, like, probably, like, Lori and Rubio is, like, your big offseason acquisitions is, like,
and okay. Evan Mobley.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, in terms of, like, actually trading for stuff and, like, using, like, what you had. Okay, like, fair. You kind of cashed in your two chips. You have that second-round pick from Houston. You have your first, and you have Jetty's contract. That's kind of, like, what you have. And, like, other numbers you could, like, push together and then get some teams to salary relief if you wanted to. But, like, you've kind of stretched out the moves you can make now is the other part of this, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the Cavs are probably tapped out at this point. And that's what I was going to say. Like, them gambling on their internal growth of their wing players, whether it's Isaac Okoro, who I think is the key wing here. Like, you really do believe he's going to be improved as a shooter.
Remember when I said he might be the second most important player for the team next season? I feel like that take is now like hyperbole. That take has aged well, I think.
Yeah, like, LeBron will be sipping that if it was a fine wine kind of
sitting in his driveway, like, cutting up a cinnamon roll with a fork and knife.
He's an odd character, that LeBron James. But you're banking on Isaac Okoro's internal development and growth. You're banking on Colin Sexton's internal development and growth. You're banking on Darius Garland's internal development and growth. You're banking on Jared Allen growing as well. You're hoping Evan Mobley can be a contributor right away, and hopefully this guy isn't falling when you look at him as a prospect, because Mobley's going to take time to season and grow for this team as well. There's a lot of factors and variables in play for the Cavs here, and I think, like, yes, acquiring Ricky Rubio was a necessary move because you finally have a healthy backup point guard behind Darius Garland for the first time in his career, but giving up Taurean Prince to do that feels like a tough ask at times, because Taurean Prince is a wing that could play 3-4, play some 2 as well, was Cleveland's best shooter last year when he was healthy, in terms of percentage at least, and then trading Nance – arguably your best bench piece and one of the best players on the team for Lauri Markkanen, who's a pretty one-dimensional player. I do like the nickname The Finisher, though. Like, I really like Frohio and The Finisher. Like, some potential. There's some t-shirt potential there. Other than that, it's just like I'm still spinning the gears on it because I keep circling back to how much money this is going to cost the Cavs. And this isn't also factoring the fact that Colin Sexton is probably going to get an extension from this team at some point, unless he tests the markets of the waters of free agency, and then they just determine it from there. But Darius Garland's also extension eligible next offseason as well. And I do worry a little bit in terms of free agency, where the Cavs had a guy in Larry Nance Jr. whose contract was a steal in the grand scheme of things. Like, it was a descending contract that was so cheap for what his production was, who was extremely loyal to the city and wanted to be here. And like, it was pretty much like a PR darling for the Cavs, like everything they could want. Like, they amplify him on social media. He did everything they asked him to do because he, you know, hashtag got us. But I wonder how this will taste with other free agents when they say, okay, they had this dude who was super loyal to this team and this organization, this city, and they traded him for a very one-dimensional shooter. Like, I know loyalty doesn't go far in this league, but I wonder if this hurts the Cavs a little bit too.
We'll see. I think there's a lot of runway for this team still left to kind of figure itself out. And I would not be surprised if this team really does struggle a lot next year. I think that is where I'm at with them. I'm definitely less optimistic on them for next season than I was 6 hours ago. But that's going to be it. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm at CDBM Writes. He's at AmNotEvan. Find us on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. Maybe we'll hopefully be unsuspended soon.
Crossing my fingers, not flipping the bird, everyone. But yeah,
Hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. My computer is about to die, so we're going to end here. Everyone, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Stay safe.